This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The National LGBTI Health Alliance held its 8th conference, Health Indifference 2013, Our Bodies, Our Minds, in Melbourne in April 2013. Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, is proud to partner with the Alliance to bring you this recording of the 2013 conference.
Hello everyone. So this is the stream for mental health and suicide prevention. So to start off today, we have Nell Angus from Beyond Blit. She's presenting from Mainstream to Tailored Approaches, working with minority communities. Nell is a program leader, Indigenous and Priorities Communities at Beyond Blue. She has extensive experience working with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, as well as using collaborative and tailored approaches to program development and service delivery. Nell has a passion for health equality and a background in community development and health promotion. She's also studying a Master's in Public Health at the University of Melbourne. Nell.
Thanks, Ben. And I'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we're meeting today, the Wurundjeri people. I pay my respects to elders past and present, and I extend my respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are here today, as well as elders of the GLBTI communities as well. So, from Mainstream to Tailored Approaches. It's sort of, I guess, a little bit of a buzz thing at the moment. A lot of people or mainstream organisations are starting to recognise that by taking a broad brushstroke approach to population, that we're actually missing specific segments within this broad population, because some of the approaches using the broad brushstroke aren't reaching the communities in which we're hoping to. So I just wanted to quickly, just for anyone who's not aware of Beyond Blue's vision, is to create an Australian community that understands depression and anxiety, feels empowered to seek help, and supports recovery, management, and resilience. And so in terms of having that vision, how we specifically look to address that is through increasing awareness, reducing stigma and discrimination, reducing the impact and disability associated with depression and anxiety, and as well as facilitating learning, collaboration, innovation and research. So how we've looked at, priority populations within Beyond Blue is that we have a program area, which, as you saw at the beginning, I'm the program leader. You may also know Megan Hansford, who's spoken at the conference and was a chair. She's our GLBTI and Priority Communities project manager. I don't know why I stood up here and I felt a little bit nervous, so please bear with me. Within our Beyond Blue strategic directions, we identified three major groups of priority populations. And as you can see there, we've identified Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds, and gay, lesbian, bi, trans and intersex communities. And I'd also, throughout the conference, that term has been acknowledge that perhaps it's not a useful way of grouping communities, that I'd also like to acknowledge that. So our approach to how we work with priority communities, before I get down into some specific examples, we've been looking to take a whole of organisation approach. I think when mainstream organisations start to look at diversity and inclusion, one of the major pitfalls is that there's a person employed, or maybe a couple of people employed, and everything related to that group, it falls into that person's work plan. So at Beyond Blue, we've tried to look at it in terms of a whole of organisation approach. In terms of our structure, we have youth programs, we have perinatal programs, we have an anxiety program, we have older adults, we have men's, we have education, child and youth, and we have research, policy and advocacy as well. So looking across all of those program areas, how can we address the needs of the priority populations? Also, we've been looking at how we build organisational skills and staff confidence in working with priority communities. Sometimes it's not so much a resistance to working with different community groups, but it's not having that understanding of how to do it. And also, I guess, as an organisation, when we're starting pieces of work, we're starting to look at who are we communicating with, how are those, what are those key messages and channels, and will they start to reach, will they be reaching the priority populations? And if not, well, then what can we do around that? So I just wanted to highlight some of the other areas. And one of, I think, the contributions that Beyond Blue has been able to make in the past is that understanding in the GLBTI space around what depression and anxiety looks like and how people can find help or different treatments. There's also our community engagement portfolio, which has a range of ambassadors. Recently, Jason Ball has become one of our Beyond Blue ambassadors and was marched with us in Mardi Gras. The Blue Voices, which is an online community, and with the change to the website, there's actually chat spaces now. If you click onto the website under GLBTI communities and then onto there's threads of conversation where you can join. Partners, I guess we do, being a mainstream organisation, we do rely on our partners. And I guess one of the things with having partnerships is one of those other widely used words where how do you reach priority populations? Well, you form a partnership with someone. And often if you're in the LGBTI space, you become the go-to organisation for every mainstream organisation that is looking to reach the communities. And I guess what we've done through our journey, and I'm not saying that we've got it right or that we've done it right in the past, but what we're looking to are some respectful partnerships where we acknowledge and look for the alignment of pieces of work that people are looking to do. And also, as I just mentioned, specific community events. This year we were at the Pride festivals on the fair days, and you may have seen us at Mardi Gras, for those of you who are from Melbourne, at the Midsummer festivals as well. So I thought I'd just try and bring some of our life to work. Work to life. through three projects that we've done with each of the priority communities. So the stories for Keeping Strong, the stories, universal stories of healing from depression, and some of you may have seen Megan's presentation on the Stop, Think, Respect. I'll focus in on the real life stories, but I also we'll just give a couple of minutes to a recent community project that we did with the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, which I think had some good learnings for us as well. So, Stories for Keeping Strong. This pamphlet was developed with Aboriginal communities from South Australia and then up in Northern Territory. As I was taking this pamphlet around to different, talking with different communities and different people, people said that the words were good, that they resonated, that the imagery didn't necessarily resonate because of the Central Australian, clearly. Themes there. So what we decided to talk about and start to do was an audio-visual resource, which we called Stories for Keeping Strong. And we worked with an urban community and as well as a rural remote community. And so the two different stories actually were developed very differently because of geographical location. So in Western Sydney, we had a story development group of around about 6 to 12 people, and we met once a month for about 8 months to work up what does depression and anxiety look like, and what does healing from depression, what are the strengths, what are the things that keep my community together, what are the things that keep my family together, and what are the things that keep me together? And then what are the things that pull me apart, what are the things that pulls my family apart, and what are the things that pull my community apart? And using that really sort of basic framework, we started to develop a story, which turned into, as you can see, a kitchen yarn. The story will actually be launched with the Western Sydney Aboriginal community on the 7th of May, and then after that it'll be up on the website. So as part of our working with the communities, we identify what approval processes do communities actually have, and then respect, obviously, how we can work together and disseminate the stories and what it looks like. In Santa Teresa, it was a little bit different because within that community, there are a number of different family groups, and so, which is not unusual within Aboriginal communities, but I guess it was about holding yarning circles and then gathering the leaders and elders of the community to start to talk about what that might look like. And as you can see, that one ended up as a yarn in the sand. Another project that we worked with I See, I Learn and the Australian Centre for Social Innovation was the Universal Stories of Healing from Depression. So there were three stories that were developed that had very different feels. So the story development groups, again, were formed, and then using an explanatory model started to unpack what that experience looked like for newly arrived communities. So depression and anxiety among the Sudanese community or people that were involved in that story, it was a sickness. It was a really physical experience, whereas for the Karen story, which is on the bottom right there, it was more of a suffering, a deep heartfelt suffering. In some clinicians had used the word feeling downhearted, and they actually thought that it was a cardiac problem. So they were thought they were actually having, that the clinician was referring to a heart attack as opposed to a head story. The diary speakers could relate to the term depression, and I guess, you know, the lesson from that was really getting an understanding of how that worked and then respectfully working with the communities. Even in the pictorial, I actually came into that project at the pictorial end, so where we had the draft stories, and I was showing it to the communities going and getting down to the details around in the Karen story up the top there, who was sitting higher than other people. So the elders had to sit higher than the younger people, and that was really important. In the Stop, Think, Respect real-life stories, I guess the focus there was really around creating stories of hope and resilience and recovery. As you may have heard in Megan's presentation, that we had a reference group. We were really cautious around involvement of people in the storytelling, and also making people very cognizant of what the consequences might be. So, for example, having what was going to be the effect on their relationships if they were telling stories of discrimination and its impact on their mental health and well-being, and then how they overcame that. It may affect some people at work. It might have affected some people, in their friend circles. So we were really wanting to make sure that everybody was aware of what they were getting themselves in for and what kind of consequences might be as a result of that. And also giving people a number of ways to engage. When we put out the expression of interest for the real-life stories, some people weren't so comfortable with putting their photo or face out there, but they really wanted to share their story in, say, a written or an audio form. So we're still, although we haven't, we've encouraged those people to jump online and post comments, we're still looking at how we can build on those real life stories, because we appreciate that we haven't, you know, captured much of the diversity. It's really been a quite a limited capturing of diversity. However, Marley on the left is a genderqueer youth. We have a gay man, Sully, you may have seen around. Annalise, lesbian woman. Gina, intersex person. And Robbie as a bisexual man. And Robbie's involvement has been a real blessing as well, because when we were looking at our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander program, we drew on Robbie to share his experience of being involved in the real life stories. Because if you go in and listen, or if you've heard Robbie's story, he actually talks about his experience of racial discrimination, even greater than the discrimination for his sexuality, which, you know, his story is very powerful in that he does touch on both, I guess, and levels of discrimination, and also the complexity of identity. Perhaps I'll just go through this, and we can, if you wanted to talk about the Melbourne Queer Film Festival community project, which brought together an older person and a younger person, and they filmed a story of each other, and we did that through a partnership with the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, which was an amazing project. And you can actually jump online through the Melbourne Queer Film Festival website and have a look at those stories. They're really incredible. But I just wanted to highlight that one of the key approaches, I guess, that we've been developing is really using that participatory action approach, where you're sort of constantly getting that information in, analysing it, and then helping it to shape and form what you're doing. And I've found that working with communities, you know, it's not a, as we've been hearing over the last few days, no assumptions, the reciprocity, looking at what the benefits are for everybody who is involved, not just, there's the red flash, not just for, you know, Beyond Blue or the big mainstream organisation that's going to be, you know, getting their brand out there. What are the real benefits for communities, and being really cognizant of that, and having that responsibility. And also drawing on creativity, opportunity and humour. Humour doesn't go astray when it's done respectfully, and yeah. So thank you.
You have been listening to a recording from the Health Indifference 2013 conference held in Melbourne in April 2013. For more information about the National LGBTI Health Alliance, head to lgbtihealth.org.au. And for more information on Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, explore joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.